after you graduated?
I graduated Fulton High School in 1927. Very few students back in those days went to college. Only a few of us did. Most of them were not in the county. They didn't have college background. We used to go to college in your family, and they all went to work, most of them. We had, yes, 5-10 in my class went to various colleges. I went to Emory University, because my father graduated from Emory down at Oxford in 1902, and my grandfather had gone there and graduated from Emory in 1878. My great-grandfather was a chaplain down there. Oxford, Emory was located in Oxford at that time. I was only 16 years old, though, when I went to college. I skipped a grade, grammar school. Most everybody else in grammar school, in my high school, 2 or 3 years older than I was. So anyhow, my father and mother decided to send me to Emory. I didn't have much say-so. Didn't care a whole lot. So I went to Emory. I had at Emory in 1927. Then freshman week, though, I was over to scout troop, and we were playing capture the flag, and I ran into a fence and broke my arm, so I was laid up with a broken arm for almost all of the first quarter. For that reason, I couldn't participate in football when I got to Emory. Now, Emory, I stayed on the campus. We only had about 2,500 students in the whole school out there at that time. I stayed in Alabama Hall and joined the Chi Phi fraternity. We had 10, 12 pledges who became very close friends of mine. A lot of who become outstanding leaders. Ed Smith, for example, became president of the First National Bank. George Kraft became president of the Trust Company of Georgia. Had 2 or 3 doctors, Dr. Venable, Dr. Logan, Dick Thrasher, all of them came either doctors or lawyers, and that's kind of trading up for him. My activity at Emory principally was in athletics. First couple of years, I joined Fulton High. I didn't have to study a whole lot because I could keep up. When I got out of Emory, they had some people that were a lot smarter than I was, so I had to struggle along my first 2 years. Or my last 2 years, I got on to swing. I got out of grades, graduated in 1931. I played on the freshman basketball, baseball team, sophomore baseball, basketball, football team, the junior baseball, basketball, football team, senior baseball, basketball, football, and track team. I was elected the best all-around athlete my sophomore year. And when I got to be a junior, Emory didn't have any intercollegiate athletics, and no basketball in the collegiate. So I played for 2 years with Atlanta Athletic Club. Atlanta Athletic Club was the top amateur basketball team in the Southeast. They played down at the downtown athletic club. Joe Beam was the coach of the team. I was a freshman. I was about 17 years old, and I used to go down to practice every night. Go down on the streetcar. Streetcar that served Emory, stopped at the log cabin, get streetcar, go down, practice 5 and drop 7, and come back to Emory on streetcar. Incidentally, that's the way everybody traveled back in the 20s, 30s, and even on up to World War II. So we had the best streetcar system in the world back in those days. We catch a streetcar at 5:00 and get anywhere in Atlanta for 10 cents. 25 minutes. Streetcar that served Bolton was a river car. It came by the power company, went out to Marietta Street, turned out Jones Jones Street, went over by Ashby Street, came through Grove Park and into Bolton. All everybody on little communities grew up on the school system and on the railroad system. Rode the street guard in Bolton High School. And I was on the glee club for a short time out of Denver. But I'd come home every weekend, which probably is a mistake, but you get a lot out of college if you stay over the weekend. I'd stay out there all week, and I kept up most of my activities in my church. I grew up in Collins Memorial Methodist Church, which itself is the oldest church in all of Atlanta, because it's a direct descendant from Montgomery's Chapel. When you talk about Atlanta, you have to go back to January the 8th, 1821, you see Atlanta is a real young city when compared to such cities as Savannah and Augusta, Washington, Wilkes, and even younger when you compare it with Charleston, New York, Boston, and even younger than that when you compare it with London and Paris and Jerusalem and so forth. You see, the Indians ceded all their land south of their town of Standing Peach Street, which is right where Bolton is located. I was born within half a mile of where the Standing Peach Street was. It's where Peach Street Creek runs into the Chattahoochee River, like where the pumping station is. It went all the way south between the Flint and the Okmulgee River to down around the Cordell joint. They split that up into five counties. We were part of DeKalb County originally, and the oldest road in Atlanta, the Montgomery's Ferry Road, because Mr. Montgomery moved out there in 1821, bought 1,000 acres of land, got a ferry across the river, had 13 children, ran the school system, became the senator of DeKalb County, and established a little church known as Montgomery's Chapel at Crestlawn Cemetery. And that later became College Memorial Methodist Church, and that's where I went to church. I started the church there in 1911 or 12, I guess. I joined the church in 1918. Been a member ever since. I started teaching Sunday school class in 1927, so I'm now in my about 64th year teaching Sunday school in the same church. All my people grew up there. My mother was the organist, head of the music. My father was a superintendent of the school, Dr. Paul McDonald, and we had a lot of fine people living in this little community. All of them went to College Memorial Methodist Church and to the Bolton School. In those days, all of these little communities had a church and a grammar school and a corner drug store, a corner grocery store, and a baseball team. So everybody had a baseball team. We had a football team. Bolton had applied for here, being here and other communities around there. So I spent pretty near all of my life in College Memorial Methodist Church. I started teaching the class there, young boys. They all grew up, all of them went off to the war, all of them came back to Ray Dickey got killed in Southwest Pacific. So we named the class out there on the Ray Dickey Club. I've been teaching that ever since. My granddaughters are going to church now, Laura and Catherine. They were seventh generation of people been going to one church, going all the way back to Martin DeFore. Martin DeFore was my great-great-grandfather, DeFore's Ferry Road. His daughter married my great-grandfather, who's Thomas Moore, and Moore's Mill Road next to him. DeFore took over the ferry from Mr. Montgomery and changed the name to DeFore's Ferry. Anyhow, while I was at Emory, I coached the grammar school basketball team at Bolton. And we won every game in the season, the county championship. Three of my boys made the varsity at the University of Georgia. It's never been equal since. Three players from the same team made the state university varsity. two of them, my little brother, Jimmy Bobby, Bobby got to be the captain. The other was Morris McDonald, and Mike Paul's son. Of course, I made the team too. I was the coach. Mm-hmm. So that was part of my activities at Emory. I graduated from Emory at 1931. Well, then I entered the law school at the University of Georgia. My father had gone to the law school there. And incidentally, during the summer, I played baseball all over Georgia. We had baseball teams at Bolton. I played on the William Mills team, the Lallis Steel Company team, the Warren Company team. I played at Thompson, Georgia, and Douglasville, Georgia, and various other places. Time to time during the summer. So I entered the University of Georgia in 1931 and graduated from law school in 1934. And I stayed at the Chi Phi House on Lumpkin Street all the time I was over there. I roomed with Cleveland Gregory, later became a very prominent lawyer in Atlanta, New Georgia. The law school at that time was just a two-story house over on the corner of Lumpkin Street, right across from the university campus. But then in 1933, Georgia alumni lawyers built a fine school over there called Harold Hirsch Hall. Harold Hirsch was the head of the Coca-Cola Company, lawyer for the Coca-Cola Company. They built this magnificent law school. I graduated from that law school at Harold Hirsch Hall, which was tucked in the old part of Georgia on the campus. While I was at Georgia, I was subject to an eligibility dispute between Tech and Georgia. Georgia wanted me to play basketball because I played with the Atlanta Athletic Club. Of course, the Atlanta Athletic Club used to play at all the colleges and beat most of them. But of course, Tech was a big rival, and they had a rule in Georgia on all the colleges that you had to do all your playing within 5 years. Well, this was my fifth year in college, but I had to sit out for a year. Dr. Sanford got me ruled in for 1 year on the basis that I was an ordinary student. I didn't know the scholarship. Next year, Tech got me ruled out, so I didn't get to play at Georgia. But, 1 year, I played on the basketball team in 1933, played on the baseball team in 1933. I was a high scorer in basketball and also made the All-SEC team at first base. Our baseball team won the conference championship. We had a real good baseball team. The coach was Bill White, who just had one arm. Our basketball coach was Rex Enright. He was a Notre Dame football player who was assistant coach for Harry Neal there in football. But while not playing on the varsity, I helped start the intramural system over in Georgia. At that time, of course, this was the bottom of the top of the Depression. Everybody was broke. Nobody had any money in school. Didn't have any money. My tuition was $120 semi-annual to go to Georgia. Of course, your tuition at Bryan Hart's about $5,000 to $10,000 a year. So I can't give you some illustration as to the difference in the cost of going to school. Of course, nobody had any money. $120 was a lot of money at that time. Back when my father went to Georgia, he also played on the football team. And he was an all-star in football, and played baseball, and also was on the track team. He was an all-time University of Georgia right in for the first 25 years. He went to school over there and stayed in. He was a head waiter in the Beanery, where he worked his way through college. Stayed in Candler Hall. So we started an intramural program there between campus organization, all the fraternities, campus clubs, and so forth. We had a touch football league, and we had a softball league, and we had a the basketball league. After the first year, they called in a fellow who had taken a course in it and couldn't. He was a great pitcher on the Georgia baseball team. About the Sanford brought him in, and he built up the intramural system in half Georgia. Everybody brought something. They had a fine intramural system in addition to their varsity work.